morning, everyone. Is it just me or did we skip something in the bulletin this morning? Pastoral prayer. Is that right? Oh, we can't just give that up. I'm a pastor. So let's pray, okay? Let's ask the Lord or seek the Lord together and turn to him in prayer. We're not going to skip over that. Dear God, thank you that we can be in your presence. And as we come, each one of us in weakness, in humility, some of us in joy and some of us in sorrow, we simply delight that we can be here and that you call us your children. Thank you, God, that you are at work in our lives and at work in this church and in this place. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to bless each one of us, draw us close to you, and help us to be aware of all that you're doing in our lives. Help us to see what you're doing so that we can participate in it and rejoice in what you're doing. And Lord, we pray for those that maybe couldn't be here this morning simply because they're too sick to be here, or maybe they're traveling. And Lord, we pray that you would meet them where they are and that they would be able to also have fellowship with you and communion with you, whether they're on their own reading their Bible or they're at another church or at a campsite. Lord, just be with them. And also be with us here this morning. Help us to have ears that are attentive and eyes that are ready to peer into your word as we rejoice together and worship you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. do we have a PowerPoint happening? Oh, okay, we do. All right, now how many of you have ever seen this show called The Amazing Race? Wait a minute, didn't I do this last time? Oh, no. All right. Well, we are going to review. So, let me make sure I got this the right way. Uh-oh. Where do I point? Okay, I'll just give you the... Or maybe I'm doing the wrong one. There we go. Is there an on button that I have to do? It's good? There is. There we go. There. Okay, let's go. Let's see if I did this right. Okay, last time. There, see? You don't have to worry. Oh, no, he already gave us this message. No, last time we looked in Hebrews chapter 12, and I introduced us to the amazing grace race as opposed to the amazing race. And this morning's message is going to be kind of a continuation and also a little bit of a review, because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I can't remember what I learned the previous Sunday, let alone a month ago. And you know what? It's okay. And, you know, I've read through the New Testament, I don't know how many times, and every time I do, there are new things. And it's like, how could I have missed that last time? Well, maybe I didn't. Maybe it's just the Lord's making it fresh and new. So as we review, even though I hope it's going to be short, but you know me, long-winded pastors. But as we review God's word together and what we learned a month ago, I hope that it'll still speak to you. Okay, so let's go. So the amazing grace race, we learned about the event. Okay, and the event, or, oh, there, I forgot to take out the graphics. That'll distract you. Don't. Okay, the event was simply that we are in a race. And it wasn't just a short sprint. It was the long haul. So, and that's why I have endurance there as well. So we are all in a race. Once we've invited Christ into our life and we begin that relationship and journey with the Lord, we're in this race. And so I just introduced the fact that, you know what, if you believe in Jesus, you're in this race. And it's filled with grace. And that's why we called it the Amazing Grace Race. The second one was encouragement. And they were all E's. Today we'll have a different letter. But E, encouragement. Oh, good, I missed the guy running across. So encouragement, we were supposed to be encouraged by this cloud of witnesses. And you'll remember last time, can I move away from the edge? Last time, remember we talked about when we're on a racetrack and we're running and that the crowd is supposed to be cheering us on. And I said we actually were misunderstanding that. And it's actually, as we're on the race, we're supposed to look to the crowd and be encouraged by what they've done. And that's why chapter 11 is in Hebrews, as it's this amazing list of men and women of God who went before these people and before us. And we can look at them as an example or as encouragement on our journey so that we can run the race well. Uh-oh. Did I do it wrong? Oh, you'll have to help me out. I'm not very... Hey, I spelled encouragement wrong. No one noticed that last month. All right, sorry, you're going to have to help me because I'm not very... You'll just have to click. When I do this, that means click, okay? Are we frozen? Is that what the problem is? I don't remember what the next E is. You got it? All right, well, I'll have to look at my Bible and see what the next E is. Okay, well, mine is, oh, there we go. I was going to say it's easily entangles, but that's pretty close. Everything that entangles. And we kind of skipped over the sin part, and we'll look at that a little bit more today. So we kind of skipped over the sin because we don't really like talking about sin, but we talked about things that can entangle us. And we knew that this passage was written to the Jewish people. And so as the Jews, these were people that were trying to follow God. And so what was hindering them or entangling them was their traditions and these things that they had to earn God's favor. And they didn't understand the word grace. And so we just kind of briefly touched on how we need to have the right mindset and understand God's word correctly, okay? And we need to give up the traditions, and we can't earn God's love, but just recognize that God's love is given to us, and we can freely receive that, okay? And so we need to give up those false beliefs or traditions that we have. Okay, the next one was example. And then we wanted to look to the best example. And in verse 2, it said, fix our eyes on Jesus. And he is the best example of someone who followed hard after God all of the days of his earthly life and forever, actually, as the Son of God, right? And so if you're not sure how to do things or how to race for God or live well for the Lord, you look to Jesus. Look to him as the perfect example, because that's truly who he is. Okay, enough of that. I will try this later, but I don't know, it's not working well. Okay, every day. And then we talked about the fact that we're in a race, and it's a race that's going to carry on for the rest of our lives. And as such, because it's the long endurance race, because it's this race that isn't just a little sprint and then it's like, yay, I'm done. No, this is like you're in this race and you got a race and it's every day. And that's why when you wake up in the morning, you need to decide, am I going to follow God today? And I like some of the songs today. I don't remember. I didn't actually know some of the songs this morning. Well, one of them. And there were words in there. And the thing I like about new songs is if it's a new song, I'm trying to pick out how it goes up and down and stuff, and I usually give up the first verse, okay? And I'm not going to get the tune the first, and I actually read the words, though. And that's good for me, because sometimes we just sing, oh, I like this song, I like the way the melody goes. But actually, when you look at the words and you're understanding the words, they're good. And someone met me in the washroom this morning, and said, oh, someone sounds like a happy pastor today. And I had a song stuck in my head. Guess what song it was? It was Every Day. It's been going through my head for over a month now. But it's a good song. It's Every Day I Will Follow Him. And so that's a decision that I've made, and I hope that all of us will make. coming up. Just like every good TV show, right? They say, coming up after these messages. Okay, coming up. We are going to look at the next part of the Amazing Grace race. Okay? And as we do, I don't want you to be scared. It's okay. You're all going to absolutely hate what I was going to say, what I have to say, but really it's what God has to say to us this morning. But let's prepare our hearts, okay? Let's pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has coming up for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the incredible truths in your word. And as we realize that we're in this race, living for you, we pray, God, that you would help us to every single day pick up where we left off and to follow hard after you, to do our very best, God, to give you honor and to give you glory in the things that we do. Help us not to bring shame to your name or to defame you in any way. Lord, we know that none of us are perfect. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, that your word would be refining us and that your word would encourage us to make right choices and to follow after you. So, God, we come with expectation looking into your word, and as we come to church together, Lord, we want to come with this incredible excitement and wonder of what you're going to do and simply knowing that we're in your presence. So God, now help us to sit under your word, to submit to you and to humbly receive from you as your children, as your sons and as your daughters. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Let's see if I can do it. Oh, I did it. Oh, it went too far. Okay. Danger. For those of you that are worried, for those of you that are scared, hold on to the person's hand beside you or whatever you need to do. Discipline. Discipline. It's a scary word, isn't it? And if you had my computer at home, sorry, I even told my wife, oh, I don't know if it's going to make it, but this had sound to it too. It was like, defeat, dum 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 dum, and really scary music. And it's because we can sometimes fear this word discipline. And yet, I want to start off by saying that God's discipline, the purpose of his discipline, is, wait, that's not worded correctly. The reason he disciplines us is because he loves us. Okay, so let me preface that the reason God disciplines us is because he loves us. Okay, so the race goes on this morning. We're going to look at discipline, and we're going to look at three different types of discipline. Okay, good three-point sermon. Okay, so the first, the first discipline that we're going to look at is, does it come automatically? I can't remember. No, I got to click it. Okay, correction. All right, this is probably the discipline that none of us like the most. Okay, and again, just remember in verse 5 Francis read for us earlier, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. And this is found back in Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you or corrects you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son or as a daughter. So God disciplines us, reminds us that he's not neglecting us. It reminds us that he's not neglecting us. And in fact, children can't be left to do whatever they want. If I left my kids to do whatever they wanted, we would have mayhem in our house. Because God gives us two parents because we need it. I have cute kids, and they're usually very well behaved, and some of you have met them, and they look all gracious and perfect and everything, and I like to make everyone think that they're like that, but they're really not. They can be really mean to each other. In fact, a week ago, oh, it was Father's Day of all days, they were sitting there having their breakfast, and my daughter has the curly hair, remember her? Okay, and so my wife has curly hair as well, and so in the morning, she scrunches her hair. So I don't see very many people here with curly hair. So curly hair takes a lot of work. Okay, if you have straight hair, you can iron it, or curling iron, or whatever, but if you have curly hair, you have to squirt it with a squirter, and then you go scrunch, and then let the curls fall, and then you scrunch it again, and you let them fall. And you do that for like what seems like an eternity, I'm sure, for my daughter. In fact, it seems like a long time for me, too. It's like half an hour later. There, I think I'm done. No. Skirt, skirt. A couple more. And it's like crazy, right? So my daughter's sitting there getting her hair scrunched by her mom. And my son's there beside her. And this is Father's Day. And we were just having a nice time together before church. And my son had this sticker book and that his aunt had given him. And it was a really weird sticker book. Okay, so let me give you this example. Okay, so you open up this sticker book, and it's like got a blank green page. And then you turn the next page, and there's this beautiful picture of like a house with things that open, like a door and a window and all these cool things. And so what you're supposed to do is you put the stickers on the blank, green, boring page. And so then when you flip it, and then you can open it up, and you go, ooh, look at the stickers I put on. It's really cool. Okay, my kids are young, okay? To them, that's really exciting. But my son got a little confused, as I did at first. But my daughter got it. My daughter's pretty quick. She's a little older, too. She's just finishing grade 5. And so she was like, well, you have to put the house page first, and then you open it up, and then you get the sticker, and then put it in. And so my son kind of figured out, oh, I see, so you open it up. So he wanted to do it his way. And so he had the green page on, and he wanted to stick his stickers on, right? And my daughter was like, no! You gotta do it the other way. You gotta shut it down. You gotta open it up so that when you open up the little door, you know that the sticker's there, and if you don't do it that way, it's gonna be all messed up. And just a lovely breakfast at my home. Okay, I'm just a regular family guy like you guys. You guys probably bite your parents' heads off or, you know, feel like plowing your kids, whatever. You know. Okay, let's go back to bed and we'll start the day over, okay? Okay, so Father's Day begins this way, and I got to correct them. Because here's my son trying to do this sticker book, and he's getting mad at his sister now because she was yelling at him, and he's like, shut up! You got to do it my way because you're stupid. And then, oh, I was like, come on. So, and Mom was looking at me because it's Father's Day. And, you know, remember what it says in the Bible, you know, the father's the head of the home. You take care of it, Glenn. Yeah, remind me of that one now. Right? And so, you know, I did. I had to correct them. Because if you don't correct your children, it'll escalate. And there'll be fists flying. And then the cereal bowl will be on the other person's head, and it could escalate. But Daddy stepped in and said, shut up, kids. It's Father's Day, and we're going to have a good meal together. Okay, I didn't say it that way, but I felt like it. I used a little bit of restraint myself. But fathers do need to correct their children, and they do it for the benefit of their kids. We teach our kids so many things all the time. Your parents have taught you so many things over the years. And oftentimes, it's done through correction. Right? It's for our benefit, the discipline. And I wrote down here, look at this verse. So I better look at this verse. Okay. I just put look at the verse, and I didn't say which one. Crazy guy. Well, I put down holiness and righteousness. Oh, here it is, in verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so, God will discipline us. It says that right here. God disciplines us all. And why? Because he loves us. But it's for our benefit. And we will gain a harvest of righteousness. Other versions say holiness and righteousness. And we will be refined by the Lord. We will be refined by the Lord. I'm going to come back to these three. So, ooh, it did work. We go 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not going to go. There we go. Pruning is the other one. Okay, this is the other type of discipline that God inflicts on us. And I say inflict, maybe it's not the best word to use because it has a negative connotation, but it feels like it's inflicting. And in John chapter 15, there's a wonderful passage there about the vine and the branches. And you've probably all read it in the past, and you realize that that Jesus is represented by the vine, and we're the branches, and we connect to him. And when we connect to Jesus, we bear fruit. But then it also says that the gardener, who is God the Father, will come, and if he notices a branch is not producing any fruit, he'll throw it away. But, and I think those are representing people that are not attached to the vine. Okay, so that's just my own personal opinion. But part of that passage also says, and those that produce some fruit, he prunes. And you can read through the whole passage yourself, because if I do that and exposit the whole chapter, we'll be here until next month. There's a lot in there. But pruning is done by God so that we're not just producing some fruit, but much fruit. If you never notice, there are different words used in that passage. So you can be bearing some fruit, but when God prunes you or disciplines you, it's so that you will produce more fruit. You'll produce more fruit. So I have some plants at home that were growing fairly well. I'm not the best gardener. Usually the way I weed is I go over it with the lawnmower, and I'm not very good with weeding, but I do know some things about pruning, and my wife doesn't. Well, he doesn't know as much. She knows some, I'm sure. But we had this one thing, and it's a lovely bush, and it grows up straight, and then it gets top heavy, and it kind of flows over, and then it has these white flowers on it, and it kind of looks like this wave of white, flowery, fluffy stuff is coming at you. It's beautiful. But last year, it didn't do very well, and it was like one little bit of white here and a little bit of white there and some white down here, and it just, I pruned it. It was down to like that. It's normally about as tall as I am. So I pruned it back, and my wife's like, what'd you do that for? I love that one. And I said, oh, don't worry, it'll come back. Well, I kind of had my fingers crossed because I'm not the best gardener. But I was told that if I cut it all back, it'll grow better. And it is. It's already, it went from this to, it's about here already. And it's only like, a month since things have been growing, right? And it's. I know it's going to be wonderful. I'll have to take a picture by the end of the summer just to prove. But God prunes us as well so that we will bear much fruit. And so he doesn't want to see us just with a little bit of fruit. He wants us to produce much fruit in our lives. So God is going to prune us at times. Now, the last type of pruning that I'm going to look at this morning, and then I'm going to discuss all three kind of at the same time, and that is a discipline that does not come from God. So what are you talking about it for? Because I think that God still uses this. Oh, here it comes. Self-discipline. self-discipline. We can all get more, right? We all need a little bit more. But what kind of self-discipline are we talking about here? You see, if God uses discipline for our benefit so that we will produce righteousness, or the pruning kind of discipline so that we will bear fruit for him and that we'll honor him in the way that we live, where does self-discipline kind of come in this? And this is where, when God points out things to us in our lives that maybe are extras, things that we don't need, or maybe it's things that we need to be staying away from, but he gives us the choice of whether we get rid of those things. As an example, I have one son, and he has two really good friends. I'm not going to tell you their names, but he has two really good friends. These two really good friends don't get along with each other very well. They're always fighting. They're always pushing each other. And guess what? The parents always are complaining about that other kid. And guess who they tell? Me, because my kid's the kid that both of their kids like. And so the one parent's like, oh, can you believe that kid? You know what he did today? And then they tell me this horrible story. And I could be like, oh, that's awful. You know what else I heard? And I could feed into their anger and, you know, build it into something bigger. Or I could then take that information and tell other people about it and say, yeah, look at that kid. Isn't he awful? And kind of spread this bad stuff about the kid. It's called gossip, right? I have to use self-discipline because some of the things that the mom tells me or the dad tells me is awful. Now, on the other hand, I see the other kid's parents, and actually, I go to church with them. They go to my home church, and they tell me, oh, man, you know what so-and-so did to our kid? And they're complaining about the other family, and that's really too bad. And I have to use self-restraint and not say, well, you know what they said about your son, I have to use self-discipline. I have to use wisdom. And it's like, well, you know what? They need to know about this one. Or, you know what? You need to tell them and stop telling me, because it's not. It comes to me and it stops. And that's self-discipline. I want to tell them that sometimes the stories are a little bit crazy. But you have to use self-discipline, right? And it's one of those things that you just simply have to use. Now, all of you know that it is FIFA right now. Or is FIFA over? No, it's still going, right? Okay, I just saw the game yesterday. Argentina beat Iran, like, with a minute left. That was kind of cool, eh? We have some Argentinians on our street, and they came out on the street, and, well, actually, they weren't really dancing. They were walking, though. He was really old. He was, like, 80, so he was walking. That was pretty exciting for him. So as I was driving by, I was like, yay, Argentina! He was, ooh, ooh! He was really excited, too. But anyways, all of these soccer players, they have to be trained in order to be that good, right? It's not like they go out and just start playing soccer. My son is in a soccer league, and he actually was in his very first tournament yesterday. He actually did pretty well, but the team as a whole, they didn't do too well. They actually won one game, and they tied the other one. With the results, they did pretty well. But they could have done so much better. But remember that tornado that we had? That they lost one practice for that. And there was another night when there was a big torrential downpour, and they lost that night of practice. And then the first night that they met, they were getting their uniforms, and it took up half their practice and everything, because you had to get a uniform that fit everyone, and that was a big hassle. And so they really only had one practice together, or one and a half practices, and then they went into this tournament. And they did okay. They could have been so much better. They could have really, you know, but they didn't. And if they practice, though, they could be as good as these FIFA guys, especially my son. My son scored 3 times. Woohoo! Once in the first game and twice in the second. So we were thrilled. He was MVP for the second game. So yay, Matthew. Woo. But you don't get there normally just out of luck. You got to work hard at things, right? So these three, do I know how to go backwards on this? Oh, I do. Hey, I'm getting good at this. I should preach here more often. Okay, correction. God uses correction to get rid of sin from our lives. And I believe, this is why I want to end with this, and I'm watching my time. Your eyes aren't bulging out yet, John. I told him, when I see John's eyes bulge out, I'll stop. He's got his eyes open, which isn't good, right? They're not bulging yet. Okay. God always wants us, I think, my opinion, it's not biblically based, but I believe that God wants us to be under one of these three types of discipline at all times. So, if you've got sin in your life, things that you know are displeasing to God, they're not bringing glory to him, they're outright sin, they're against what God wants. God, if you don't humble yourself and repent of that, when he gently pokes you on the shoulder and says, we have this thing, you guys have some of these, anyone? No? No one has one? Come on, they're all in silent, you're not letting me know. I know we all have them, right? We have this thing called Talking Tom. You know that one? Anyone have that app, Talking Tom? You're all going to download it now. It's this little cat, and you can pet it, and it goes, okay? Well, you know, I let my kids play with it. It's not for me to play that one. Well, they like to, like, poke it, and you poke it in the nose, it goes boing, okay? But if you touch it in the private spots, I got kids, right? They want to touch it there just to see what it does, and he goes, ah. That's what God does, too. If you've got sin in your life, and he'll, you don't want to do that, okay? God will, if you don't, when he just does the little poke, he'll do the bonk poke, and he'll correct you. Sometimes he will utterly flip your life around and destroy you. If you're married and you decide to have an extramarital affair, as an example, that's unbiblical, right? I know there's not a lot of married people in. Well, actually, there's quite a few. Okay, if one of the spouses decides to be unfaithful and you keep your little dark secret to yourself, other than with the other person, I suppose, you know what? Get out of it now. Because if you don't, God will expose it. And your marriage and your life can crumble apart because God loves you and he doesn't want you to stay in the sin. Sin stinks and he'll correct you. It's better for God to correct you with his word before he has to really correct you in a harsh way. The second way, again, was the pruning, right? Sometimes we are all busy and we're doing good things for God, but we're not producing a lot of fruit. We're doing good things for God. We're helping in the Sunday school, or we're doing a good job with the song leading, or we're in the prayer meeting, and we're doing good things. But sometimes God will prune things from your life. And God sometimes uses sickness to do that. I'm just throwing out little examples for you. I had a friend whose mom was a prayer warrior. She had the gift of intercession. She would pray for things and continue to pray, and God would answer her prayers. And she got busy in the church, busy doing good things for God. And guess what she started to neglect? Her prayer. And God put her flat on her back for a couple of weeks, so that she would pray again. And when she did, her son's life turned around. And he ended up becoming one of my best friends. Well, he still is my best friend and a phenomenal pastor, way better than me. Incredible man of God, because his mom prayed hard for him. But God will sometimes use pruning. even if you're doing a good job, but accept that pruning so that you know that God's going to be doing that, whether it's a sickness or something else goes wrong. Maybe God's using that for good in your life. Doesn't that remind you of a Bible verse? God uses all things together for good. God uses that pruning. And the third one is the self-discipline. If God's not busy chopping sin out of your life because you're walking close with the Lord, you're doing your very best, and he's not pruning you, then this is your chance to start doing your own self-discipline and making choices that are going to better you. And I could go into a whole other sermon there, but next month. All right, I'll end there. His eyes weren't bulging out. I'm just looking at the clock. But I do pray that, that you will ask God to help you, preferably with one of the second or third types of discipline, so that you don't have to undergo that first kind of discipline in your life. My prayer, honestly, is that you'll be always in the second and third type of discipline. And remember this, though, whatever discipline you're going under, it is for your glory, so that you will bring glory to the Father. Now let's close with prayer, and then our worship team will come up. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you do discipline us and that we know it's because you love us and you desire great things for us, and that you love us so much that you won't let us stay in our sin. And so, God, I pray that if there's anyone here that maybe feels convicted of even the smallest of sins, Lord, I pray that they would respond to your Spirit and that they would confess that sin and turn away from it, repent, and begin to walk back in your ways. And for those of us, Lord, that are maybe feeling like you're pruning us, give us that joy knowing that you are doing an incredible work in our lives, and help us to keep our eyes on you so that we can feel good and know that your word promises us that we will have a harvest of righteousness and holiness for you. And Lord, for those of us maybe that aren't undergoing those, we pray that you would give us self-discipline, so that we would be making choices that bring honor to you, that we would make choices that draw us close to you. And we pray that you would help each one of us in our journey, in our amazing grace race. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.